All right. I see some folks here already. Can you guys hear me? I see V'Elaine and Isabel. Hi. I'll see the chat and invite. There we go. Okay, we're going to get started in a cup. Oh, we're going to get started right now. Lynn was having trouble getting on because she's on her daughter's computer because hers broke down and her daughter's computer doesn't have all her saved links. So she's getting her real one back tomorrow. So she asked me to give her the link. All right, I'm going to fill up my water. And I got both of your cases. Lynn didn't tell me which of you submitted it first, so I'm going to ask her because we always go in first in order.
How was your trip?
What's that?
How was your trip?
It was excellent. Excellent.
I know. I saw the food post. That looks great.
I know. I wish that was what I was eating every day, but unfortunately it wasn't. But when we found that great stuff, it was phenomenal. Mm. There's Lynn. So, Lynn, who submitted theirs first, Isabel or V'Elaine? We'll go with that order. Can you hear me? Lynn?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, which one was first, Isabel or V'Elaine?
V'Elaine.
All right, we're going to go with V'Elaine. All right. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT case study call. And we have two people who've submitted cases, V'Elaine and Isabel, and we're going to start with V'Elaine's. V'Elaine, is it correct that there's no labs, it's just the sheet with the description, correct? Unmute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Rita Mary.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't have any lab. It's
okay.
I mean, I eventually, you know, maybe I can order some lab.
Okay.
But, she doesn't get much. This is from my daughter.
Okay.
She, you know, she's having
the daughter who's got the Rett's.
Yes, Rett's syndrome, okay. And I'm trying to control seizures.
Okay.
And, it's not too bad, but she's on a high dose of med. Right now, it's a little better. But what I found is that when she has her period, the first day, she gets seizures. Mm. So I told her, I asked the doctor, I said, you know, there is a connection, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, anything I can do. And they didn't have any suggestion. They said that there's been some study showed like a connection with estrogen imbalances or,
mm-hmm.
you know, with seizures, but that's all. I mean, they didn't know what else. So I think she needs some sort of hormone balance.
Yeah. That's what I would recommend. You know, this is the thing. If she's stable throughout, then obviously the hormones, the drop in progesterone,
mm-hmm.
or the increase in estrogen, could be triggering it. So it could be a simple approach to balancing those hormones. And my guess would be it's the drop in progesterone, because there's a lot of studies that link progesterone with brain chemistry problems and brain actually healing from brain trauma. So what I would do, let's go through and talk about this a little more, but what I would do is do a web search. Cyclical seizures in girls, you know, menstrually, the timing is menstrual. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do some Google searches. I would go to Google Scholar because that's where you're going to get a lot of the Medline, you know, the articles that are published.
Google, yeah. I did something, but then I got lost into stuff.
It's easy to get lost. that's just par for the course. There's so much out there. You're going to get lost. And you started out looking at seizures, but this thing on schizophrenia got you. And then the next thing you know, you're looking at constipation because there's all this other stuff that drags your attention. So it really does.
Yeah, we're working on that as well. Yeah. And I did some stuff. Yeah, some changes already.
Okay. So let's go back a second because what I want to do is go through and have you explain what you put in here to everybody. And then what I want to do is talk about the possibilities. Like you said, testing, I would say maybe a Dutch test would be a good thing to do. And the Dutch test is usually done on day 21, 22 of the cycle. So we get to see, is the seizures usually coming right before the bleeding starts or after the bleeding starts?
Kind of like right on the spot.
Right on the spot. So as soon as progesterone drops enough to allow the lining to shed, getting a seizure. So there's got to be a connection there.
Yeah.
A couple of things you can do when something like that happens. You can experiment with progesterone, but given, you know, her situation, she's not somebody who's verbal and can talk to you about it. I would say maybe a Dutch test would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I guess I can try that. It's going to be a little difficult. I don't think I can do it all on the same day. It might get spread out because I'm going to have her sit on the potty and then dip the, but she, it's possible, but it's going to be hard. Because she's on the potty, I'll collect the urine. I'll dip right away I don't think she's going to pee at the time I want her to pee.
Okay. So that's it. It's hard to get her to pee on demand.
Does she
usually wear a diaper? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe I can soak it in the diaper at the time, but it's going to be, not going to be timed. Not going to be timed. And I can't have her spit.
Okay. Here's what I would do. You maybe even do a blood test. But I would call the Precision Analytics and ask them, tell them the situation and ask them if they have any suggestions for how to do it. Because clearly, you know, you can't control when she's going to pee.
Okay.
Okay. And then it might be that they say, no, just go with blood testing. Blood testing's harder. You know, the saliva, like you said, you're not going to get her to spit in vials, right?
No.
So the only thing really is the blood testing that could be predictable. And if you see low levels of progesterone, I mean, I would start, if you just want to save some money, just go in and check her progesterone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're comfortable supplementing. There's not a lot of side effects in progesterone, except for excessive levels can cause depression. And because she's not someone who can speak and is verbal, you can't get that information from her, right? You're not going to go, oh, wow, she just got real moody. You know, you got a teenager that's running around and starts to bite everybody's heads off. You know it. But with her, you're not going to know that.
Well, I won't give her a lot. I mean, I don't know if I can really. Do you think I can get easily into excess?
I don't think you can get easily to excess. So there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can do oral drops.
Mm-hmm.
Biomatrix just put out their progesterone again, but I think because of FDA rules, they had to say it's topical.
Oh, okay. But
it's the same formulation as it used to be, only on the bottle it says it's topical. So you could apply it topically. I think mucosal linings are the best. So, you know, in the vulva or the anal mucosa is going to get in better. Or you could just start with some drops under the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
What about oral progesterone supplementation with brain trauma cases is that it does take a lot. But I don't know that there's a lot of downsides to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, if she needs it.
It's interesting that the neurologist didn't suggest.
They don't look at that, right? They don't keep up with that kind of research.
Yeah. You just want to control the seizures. So, I mean, he's helping us with the THC and the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the medical cannabis.
Is that helping?
I'm using it. I'm trying to. She was on the THC dominant, and she didn't like to be in that state. She didn't like it. She was miserable. So I got into a low dose of THC and mostly CBD. And what I'm trying to do right now is to lower the med. What we used to have, like, multiple seizures right on our period. And the thing also I wanted to say, and I didn't mention that in here, is her period's gotten, like, really heavy. And she looks like she's in pain.
What supplements do you, let's just take a look through this.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Yeah, take it through, and then I don't have to ask you questions if it's already here. So go ahead and explain to me. So the top thing is seizures happening around monthly cycles. Doctor said it's common associated with estrogen imbalance, but there's no known cause and treatment. Well, obviously, if it's associated with estrogen imbalance, that's a trigger anyway. You can't say that. And as far as treatment, you know, you look at the balance of the hormones, and if she's estrogen dominant, you help her with progesterone. So constipation.
Yeah, well, something's happening with heavy period. I don't know. Like really heavy period all of the sudden. It's
okay,
weird.
Okay, so
used to have like little.
Iron deficiency for heavy period.
Okay.
Right?
But that's possible because I got her pretty much on a vegan diet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can't give her volume because if she gets too much, she cannot take that much to get her supplements. So she gets three little meals. Mm-hmm. A day. She cannot have huge amount. So I started to give her animal protein again. And she did not do too bad last month. But she right on the spot, last week, she had her period and she still had one seizure. It was not as bad as it used to be. I feel like there is some improvement, but and obviously it's not. And then we raise the med because we don't want her to go into cluster because it's just like.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. I'm sorry. I accidentally muted you. Somebody else was making noise and I accidentally muted you because it had a weird.
Yeah. So what we do with that, she gets like an emergency med and it's really bad. Like that benzo something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shoots her for like, that's supposed to create anxiety. It's depression. It's really bad med.
Yeah.
Then she has to go through the next few days of recovering from it. And it's,
when is she due her next period?
She's due in probably 3 weeks. She just had her period last week.
Okay, so see if you can get a blood test done at about day 21. That's typically when they want to do it. And then I would say, regardless of whether you have the results back, I would probably get the test done, but then immediately start her on some progesterone just as an experiment. You won't really know how low she is, but just start her on it and see what happens. See if it makes any difference. I would also say if she's got a lot of pain, you said she seems like she's in pain, look at magnesium as a possibility. Magnesium is very good for dysmenorrhea.
Yeah, I'm giving her the citrate. She takes 150. And I was thinking of giving her, that's not enough, 150 twice.
And especially if she has constipation, so I would just keep gradually building it up.
Yeah, and the constipation is taken care of somehow.
Oh, okay. So you listed it. So that's not a problem.
Yeah, because I improved the diet. I mean, if I give her like cabbage, that works great for her.
Mm-hmm.
Beets and stuff. So I kind of have the constipation under control. Great. She has like a really nice fibery dinner. Good. And then one of those, I think I told my aide to give her two if she gets constipated. To give her two magnesium, and we're trying maybe to raise it before a period.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. And probably next round, get it in powdered form. Thorn has magnesium citrate in powdered form.
Yeah, I open it.
Right, but it's cheaper and more controllable if you just get the powder to begin with.
Okay.
The capsules. Right?
Okay.
Then you can control it and you can just gradually increase it. Whereas the capsules, it's just a pain to have to open up capsules. And it's a lot more expensive to buy them as capsules. So I would recommend the next time around, get it as powder. If you're not concerned about the constipation, you might try magnesium glycinate or threonate.
Your threonate.
Yeah, I don't know if that one comes in powder. I know glycinate does.
Okay. So do you think I should give her like three doses a day or two doses?
You can give her three, or you can just keep doing two.
Two would be.
Yeah, two is the easier, and I don't think it matters. You don't need to go three. Maybe one in the morning, one at night, but double it up and see.
Yeah. Okay. I'll try that.
Like double it up the week before her period.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a plan.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. So she's had these seizures since birth. She was born with Rett syndrome.
No, she was. She had She had one when she was little, and then she got on med. She got on medication, and they went under control. But she was highly medicated for like age 4 to 11. Then I weaned her.
Oh wait. So her first one was at age 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So 4 to 11, she was on heavy meds. You weaned her off, and she didn't have the seizures again until last year.
Yeah, she was med-free for a long time. Like, she had at least 4 years, 5 years.
Now, did something change? When did she get her period?
Well, she got her period a long time ago. Like, she was 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
did something change about her period last year? Did it get...
And then last year... She started, you know what? It's a year after I put her on a vegan diet. She was on the vegan diet. And I had weaned her of all this crap medical food. And it's been at least a year.
Mm-hmm. And then, you put the food in her feeding tube?
Yes. Yeah, it's a tube. It goes straight in the stomach. It's not one of those. She got onto, she's taking, it was not just my food. She was on a liquid hope too. Liquid hope, she gets so constipated on that stuff. It's very sweet. It's good. It's organic, but it's got sweet potato. It's very heavy. It's very high carbohydrate.
So given that seizures respond really well to a ketogenic diet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the best choice, right? Something with a lot of sugar.
Yeah, I think it's too much sweet potato. I mean, the thing is orange and carrot, and I can tell that there's not much green. So she has it at school because it's convenient, but she doesn't have it at home.
Okay.
So every day she has it at lunch. And then at home, she gets a lot of greens from what I give her.
So you just blend it up and then put it in the tube. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And the same with the nuts and seeds, obviously. So you blend all this stuff together.
Yes, I blend everything. Yeah. And regarding, again, the iron, since I can't give her a lot of food, greens, to get our iron, do you think I should supplement, or if I do a little bit of meat blended? I have a guy at the farmer's market who's got
organic. Yeah, you could do that. You can also do yellow doc. Yellow doc will also support her liver, which I'm sure her liver needs some extra help and support based on the medicine.
The medicine. Yellow doc for the iron.
Yellow doc. Yep.
Okay.
Very good source of iron.
I don't have that.
Yeah. You need a tincture. Mm-hmm. But you can get a good iron. I've had good results with vitamin code, raw iron. I've had people respond like within a month, their levels go up. I've had good results with PERC, HemaFactor, Hematin, or something like that. It's a combined with the other factors that are related to the anemia. I've had good results with that.
Yeah, so you think she can be vegan and just take a supplement and that's okay? Because it's easier for me.
Yeah, I think she could. I think she could. Yeah, make sure she's getting her B12. You've got a multi with B12.
We have the multi.
Yeah. With the B12, I would make sure she's getting, can you get her a sublingual?
Oh, no, I don't do that. I have this pure encapsulation. It's got some B12 in it.
Now when, here's the thing. Anybody with, you know, stomach issues, I don't think B12 is well absorbed in a multi. I think B12 either needs to be sublingual or liposomal for the best, or topical for the best response. So you might want to get like the health liposomal or sublingual. Harder with the sublingual because you can't get it in her mouth, right? I mean.
No, but what you're talking about, what is it?
The liposomal. Seeking Health is liposomal. So you can put it right in her tube.
Oh, that's the expensive stuff.
It is, but it's better absorbed.
You know what? This makes her sort of like puke a little bit. She doesn't tolerate the orange.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know.
That's the magnesium?
No. The vitamin B12. It's orange, you know, the orange. It's orangey.
You mean the liposomal?
No, not the liposomal, but the capsule.
Okay, yeah. That's going to be really hard for her to digest. I would rather see you get a liquid B multi.
Okay.
And then extra B12, either liquid. But with the B12, I'd rather see you do liposomal to get you want to get the maximum absorption for her.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And Premier Research has a lot of liquids. They have the multi B, they have B6, they have B2.
Yeah.
And then for the B12, I like the liposomal.
Okay.
Okay.
The B12 extra. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, with her, one of the problems we have with a lot of teenagers is compliance, right? We can't get them to do what we want them to do. Clearly, you have control. So you can actually give her whatever you need to give her.
Yes.
Right? You just put it right in the tube. So you want it to be the highest quality, the highest nutritional density food you could possibly find.
Yeah.
So lots of green vegetables. I mean, obviously, she can't take much at a time. You have to give her some.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But the dense green vegetables blended, you know, to a smoothie, juices.
Yeah, super
juices.
Fresh. Yeah, I make it super fresh and I freeze it and I have it ready. I was thinking, I don't know if I have that down below. What about the seed rotation diet?
I would certainly, you're giving your nuts and seeds anyway. You might as well follow that and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Right? Because that helps to balance the progesterone.
So when I do that, it doesn't matter when I give it. I can just give it to her.
No, I would give her the progesterone producing one starting at mid-cycle, the second half.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, that. But the quantity, I just give her daily, once a day.
Yeah, just give it to her daily.
Breakfast.
Yeah, as long as that's when you're giving her nuts and seeds, give it to her at breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So mid-cycle, yeah, progesterone mid-cycle, and then after the period, I stop.
Yeah.
Progesterone.
Yeah, and until you know what her estrogens are, I mean, you could certainly do estrogen at the beginning and then progesterone at the end. So just do the regular seed cycle.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I meant the progesterone drops.
Oh, the drops. Yeah, you would start at day 10.
Yes.
Or 12, that are right thereabouts, and then go through the end of the cycle. As soon as she starts to get her, you know, does she usually have pretty predictable? Is it 28 day cycles?
She has shorter cycles. It can be a little long, or it can be kind of short.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of
so I would just keep taking the progesterone until the period starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you find that the period doesn't start because she's taking too much progesterone, then you'd have to drop it off. That's the hard part when the cycle's not regular. If it's regular, you just take it up till day 27 and then you stop and let them
go. Okay.
28. But just see, it's total experimentation at this
point. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt to try. It doesn't hurt to try.
No.
And you can give it to her in her tube, you know?
Yeah. The drops.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They're not sublingual. They're oil-based drops. You can try it that way, or you can do it on her body. You can topically apply it. And again, it's experimentation at this point to see. You can always look at Vitex as an herb if you don't want to go to the progesterone itself. So second half of the cycle, day 10, 12, you start to give her Vitex.
Should I try that first before I try to figure out what test?
Yeah, you could. But I would definitely call Precision Analytics to find out, you know, explain the situation and see if they have a workaround.
Yeah.
Okay, because that'd be the ideal, is to really get a good picture of it.
Yes.
All right, so the things you have her on is 100 milligrams B6. Is that a capsule that you open up?
The B6, yes, okay. Again. So I'll get a liquid.
Yeah, get her liquid. The two companies I know that have the B6 liquid are Premier Research and Designs for Health. They both have a B6 liquid.
Designs for Health. I've never heard it from those guys.
CalMag. Oh, yeah, and whatever you can switch. CalMag's easy to switch to a powder. The multi, I've not seen. I mean, you could switch to Rush, or you could just keep giving her the pure encapsulation and open it up.
Oh, yes, the minerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
I'll just put it in her water. I had it too.
Yeah, as long as you can get her to take that. And then the digestive enzymes, do you put that in with the food in the tube?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the best
one. And that's helping with the digestion and the constipation big time.
Okay.
She at night she gets her water through the tube very slowly. I put like almost a liter of water with the minerals, and it goes in overnight.
Mm.
I mean, she gets very wet. Actually, we reduced it because she was getting soaked.
So yeah, especially spreading across the day.
Yeah, but it's spread throughout the night, though. So when she wakes up, she's very hydrated. She looks good in the morning.
That's good.
But it might wake her up, so I have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah, just don't put anything stimulating in it.
No. Just a little bit of the minerals. Oh, and the vitamin C, is that okay to give at night? I always wonder.
Vitamin C only lasts in the body about 6 hours.
Okay, but a lot of people say, "Oh, don't take vitamin C at night."
Why?
Because it's exciting.
I don't think it's,
you know.
If it is, then you change it, right? Everybody's a little different, so just see. But you want to have it ideally 3 times a day for vitamin C. But if you do twice a day, once earlier in the day, once. And instead of doing it at night, you know, just do it earlier, put it in her feeding tube.
Yeah. That's what I put in the, at night in the water. Just, that's part of the, constipation protocol.
Right. Right.
I mean,
I have no problem.
And the magnesium.
If it's not keeping her awake, then that's fine.
Yeah. But now I'm thinking, oh, maybe she's waking up at night because she's, all right.
Well, then try it earlier on, right? Just see how it goes and see what, that's it. Meditation, relaxation. How does she relax? Do you do yoga with her?
Well, she likes massage.
Nice.
Yeah, I position her. I and she really likes the massage, the oils.
Nice.
As soon as we touch her and we're gentle, she She loves the head massages.
Nice.
Oh, you can rub her head. She closes her eyes and she's really
nice.
She loves that. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And then water. She loves to soak in water.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, right now I don't have my thing to soak her. I used to have straps to drop her in the tub. And since we moved out, we didn't put them back up.
Okay. Well, that's not, that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, we find ways to relax her, but it's not on demand. It's you know.
Yeah.
Massages are good on the go.
That's a great one. Yeah.
And the oils.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, So I think that we've already covered this. Is there any other questions? And let me look to see if anybody else has any other contributions or questions. Let me chit chat. So do you have any other, you feel like you've got a general direction to go in?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to experiment with all that. I've got a good amount of stuff to do. I'm happy. It's, I'm going to walk on it.
Yeah, Mihaela points out, if you can get the Dutch, so definitely call Precision Analytics and see if there's a way you can work it out with the...
Yeah, I know they say that the samples don't have to be taken on the same day.
Okay.
So, you know, as long as, you know, maybe if I can write down the time and maybe they'll take it on different days and we'll walk it that way.
I would let them know. Just call them and let them know the situation. Find out what they think the best approach would be, and then make sure when you send it in that you explain the situation.
Yes.
Okay. Lynn Rose put something up. Period is a way for a woman to detox. It's true. Mihaela says OptiMag from Zymogen is magnesium L3-8. That's the one. L3-8 might be good because it affects neurotransmitters as well.
Oh, yeah. OptiMag.
OptiMag from Zymogen.
Trianate. Yeah, I got it.
Did she do any vaccines?
Yeah. Yeah, she had her regular vaccine.
When was that?
Excuse me?
Recently she had a vaccine.
What did they do one that they had? Which one did they force me to do? They forced me to do the vaccine. It's not the papilloma. No, I don't think it's this one because I was like, she doesn't need that.
But yeah,
there's another one that they forced you to do, and she did that a few years ago.
Wonder if that triggered it. I wonder if that triggered it. HPV one.
Is it the HPV?
That one is super messed up.
Oh, can you believe that they forced me to do that with her, that she's, you know.
How could they force you?
Well, the school refused. That's why I'm not sure.
I don't know that they would refuse it for that.
Find out
what it was and the timing, because that could have contributed for sure.
I'll look at my paper when you do the next case, if I can find it. I have my stuff next to me.
Yes.
I remember opposing to this HPV. I was like, there is no sense she needs that. But there's another one that they made it mandatory.
It's the Gardasil is what they call it. Gardasil.
I have to look. I have a real
look it up. Okay.
Yeah.
Lynn has a good suggestion. She said I would plug her vaccine record onto a timeline of her issues. Make a timeline, because that's the kind of stuff that could mess with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's why I mentioned, because the B12 needs intrinsic factors, so I never recommend B12 as a multi, just because so many people have messed up stomachs and don't have enough intrinsic factor. But if you, that's why I recommended the liposomal, because it bypasses and it just gets right into the bloodstream. So it doesn't have to go down to the distal ileum to do that. An irregular menstrual cycle can result from change in diet. Great changes in physical, emotional, seasonal change in a monthly cycle, cooler seasons. Um, Where is this from, Lynn? Where did you quote this from? Liver stagnation. Lynn wrote a whole big long thing you can look at. Yeah, you can read what Lynn wrote when we go on to Isabel's. She just wrote this long, book about it. Notes from family studies, lots of sources.
I was not seeing all this. Okay.
Okay, you see it? Yeah, so go through that and we'll make a copy, or you can just copy, you can just highlight the whole thing and copy it into a Word file if you want to save it.
Okay.
We go through. And we'll post it with the call. But
okay.
All right. Anything else?
Okay, I got it.
Okay, good. Got it?
Getting used to the system. Okay.
Yeah, you're doing well. Good job. Let us know how it goes.
Yes.
And look at MCT oil as a possibility because it feeds the brain.
I give her that every day.
Oh, you do MCT.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing is that she's kind of anxious and I think it runs in the family. So should I give her the 5-HTP? Like I started to take that. Should I get her?
You know, I don't know. I don't have enough.
She's extremely tired.
It could be a GABA thing, right? It doesn't have to be.
I give her GABA. I give her GABA.
I see you give her GABA, but is it a GABA? GABA generally doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier unless you get a specialized form of GABA.
Oh, yeah. So
look at that. Which one are you giving her?
I'm giving her Abacom. It's that, minty capsule.
Yeah.
They're like minty. I don't know.
Have you noticed a difference? Does it calm her down?
Well, she's been sleeping well, and she's been, I gave her that because for constipation too, because it helps.
Okay.
Constipation.
I keep giving it to her. It may not go through the brain, but it can definitely affect the digestive tract.
Yeah.
Right. So
I give her one every night.
I mean, look at for calming and for anxiety kind of symptoms, you can look at some of the herbs and the essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
Get a diffuser.
Yeah, the oils are okay.
Do you have a diffuser? Do you diffuse?
Yeah, I do the diffuser at night. Yeah. Vetiver. Yeah.
You know, the other thing about doing the Dutch is it tests melatonin, so you would know if she's got enough melatonin.
And I need to get that Dutch down. figure that out.
Call them up tomorrow and find out what they
say. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to go to Isabel's Chase. Hello, Isabel. There she is. So you want to tell us about your female 5'2", single, 157 pounds. So she's a little overweight, 58-year-old widow. So tell us a little bit about her. Oops. You're speaking, but I'm not hearing you. Nope. Let me see. Participants. Let me find you. Isabel. Yeah, you're unmuted. Try again, Isabel. I think I heard you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you now. Did your headset not work?
Yeah, my phone didn't work. Okay, so 58-year-old woman. She was diagnosed with bile duct cancer back in February. And her cancer, I sent in the ultrasound report. Mm-hmm. It's at a place where it's inoperable.
Right.
So she doesn't want to do chemo. That's what the conventional doctors recommend, chemo, but she wants a natural approach. So we're working together to get her diet in check, to remove toxicity, to reduce stress. So mainly the 7-pillar stuff.
Yeah.
And her main complaint is it, when I started working with her, she was experiencing itchiness. And that's how, that's what the first symptom, that's why she went to have her physical and checked out, and it was from the itchiness. And so now it's almost gone.
Mm.
She's not experiencing itchiness, which is good.
That's great.
Also lack of energy. So that was the first complaint, but that's been going better.
And that's been a long-term problem, something she had before?
No. She was telling me that she was fine. She was feeling pretty good until they put in a stent in her to open up the bile duct so that things could come through. But after her operation,
then she started.
She felt really tired. Okay. That's her lack of energy.
Was it done under anesthesia, or was it a general, or how'd they do it?
She was hospitalized for like a week or so. I didn't ask her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a full surgery or if it was a laser, a laparoscopy, where they put the little, you know, little hole and go in and look. And so, you know, depending on what that is, I mean, certainly surgery will do that, right? Surgery is very invasive. It's very stressful to the body. There's the anesthesia, which just completely knocks people out. And it's not uncommon to experience fatigue after surgery.
Okay. Okay, I'll ask her that. But her energy has been improving. In the beginning, it was up and down. Like some days were good, some days were not. I think I'm seeing a little bit more steady of energy. And she just texts me today, or she could run up the stairs. So that's
good.
Oh,
great. There she's definitely improving.
Yeah. So definitely on a steady, up, you know, going up energy. And there's some days that she's still, you know, feeling a little bit more tired. And it could be that when she's feeling pretty good, she pushes herself. She's got two kids, right? Mm-hmm. And so she pushes herself
a little bit. For moms.
Yeah. So energy. The other thing is, bloating. She's experiencing a lot of bloating.
Is that since the surgery, or has she had that before?
I think she always has.
Right. Bloating right after eating, like a kind of
bloating right after eating, and usually with solid foods, mm-hmm. and it could last for hours. And she said she doesn't have a very strong appetite right now, and probably because of the bloating. Sometimes she does feel hunger, but the bloating, because of the bloating, she doesn't want to eat.
So it looks like she's taking Gas-X, which...
Yeah, she just told me that. Oh, exciting.
Now, there are things that you can do. You might want to look into a new supplement called Entronteal.
Entronteal.
I don't know exactly how to spell it.
Okay.
Lynn will probably find it and post it within milliseconds. But Entronteal is a new supplement. I actually know the guy who created it. He's an integrative gastroenterologist, and it's a natural substance that has been used for the gas and bloating in SIBO and IBS. And I know some people who tried it. He gave us all samples. I don't have gas or bloating, so I didn't know. I didn't try it, but I gave it to somebody who did, and she says, wow, that stuff's amazing.
Okay.
So you might want to try that, much better than this horrific.
Oh, yeah, Gas-X. She just told me that 2 weeks ago. It's like, what? You're on that? So she's doing.
So the other thing that dispels gas is fennel.
Fennel, yes. Fennel. I recommended her to try fennel and ginger.
But this Entronteal might do the trick, and she won't have to take this.
Okay. So not juice and smoothie are okay, mostly with solid food. That's where she's experiencing more of the gas.
Now, is she willing to do a smoothie, juice, soup kind of blended diet for a while, like a few weeks?
I think so. I think she would be willing to try.
Yeah.
I don't think she would be object to that.
Right. Is she underweight, overweight, normal weight?
She's a little bit overweight.
Yeah, she's overweight, right.
She's overweight. Yeah.
Definitely overweight. She's a lot overweight. She's about 40 pounds overweight. Right? 157. She's 5'3". She should be like between 110 and 120 at the most. So she's, you know, close to 30 pounds overweight. So she could use. So, okay, I asked that question just because a lot of people who are thin and you try to put them on a liquid diet, they freak out because they're afraid they're going to lose a lot of weight. With her, we don't have that issue. You know, whoops, you got muted.
losing weight consistently. Probably because she's eating less and she's eating better.
Yeah. Yeah. So she, and it's not a problem. I mean, you don't need to worry about her. She gets down to 120 pounds, then you want to just watch it. But
okay,
I think you're going to see that she's going to release some more of the toxic fat that's in the body and more toxic load on the system. Mm-hmm. Decreasing the toxic load is going to support her. Yeah. So I would look at that.
Okay. Yeah. We worked on cleaning up the, you know, what she used on her skin, the environment, water. She's doing alkaline water that, so she's doing that. And,
they claim it's great for all kinds of diseases. I don't know.
Yeah. But I just think that it doesn't have enough filter. If you're doing running it through straight from the tap, it's not filtering.
Right. I think you'd have to filter it and then alkalize it and only drink alkaline water away from meals.
Okay.
If you drink alkaline water with your food, it's going to dilute the stomach acid and it's going to impair. It's like taking Alka-Seltzer with a meal. Yeah. Like, yeah, it relieves heartburn, but it screws up your digestion. So I would say if she is going to do that, do not drink it with meals.
Okay.
Okay. And it should be not taken within 2 hours after a meal. Because you know, the protein will stay in the stomach for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be messing with protein digestion.
Okay.
My husband died of prostate cancer.
Oof. Yeah, so it's been very stressful.
Very stressful.
Very stressful. And let me see. So she's not working right now, but she's planning to go back to work soon. And she's working on a master's degree. I don't remember what, but she's taking this time to.
So here's the thing. Can she take time off? I mean, she's got this life-threatening disease.
Yeah.
Right? And so working and taking care of two kids and going for a master's degree seems to be, that would be a lot.
She's done in a couple weeks. So
that's,
yeah.
And how old are her kids? Are they little ones or she's 15
and 16. They're pretty young, 14 and 16. Yeah.
Oh, and teenagers.
And some of her stress comes from teenagers. Yeah.
Of course. Teenagers are never without stress. Yes.
And also I recommended her to look into Dr. Lodi. Is it Dr. Lodi? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their office didn't call her back. So
really? They're usually very responsive. I would call again.
Okay. But she got in contact with Hippocrates.
Okay.
Hippocrates, and she's applied for a scholarship. So in maybe she'll hear back from them 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I've encouraged her to do like a full immersion.
Yeah. And they have a lot of like the extra therapies, the energy therapies, the whirlpools, the... Mm-hmm. They have a lot of therapies there, constantly researching that.
Yeah.
Plus the wheatgrass and all the other stuff. Okay. So this supplementation is what you've put her on. Was she on any supplementation before?
No, she's not on any medication. Before, she was just on digestive enzyme, probiotic, vitamin D, and there's another one, just basic ones.
Okay. And her diet, was it pretty?
Diet, I think since about 6 to 8 months ago, she made a huge change on her diet and she's staying vegan at least for the last 2-3 months that I know of. She's staying vegan. Sometimes I do catch her. She went out to eat. She was eating, one of the Greek food, like a triangular thing. Falafel.
It's chickpea flour, deep fried. Yeah, and usually it has gluten in, usually put flour.
Yeah, so she's not 100% gluten and dairy free, so we're working on that.
Yeah, really explain to her that this is not like she has some hives or, you know, just the gas and bloating. This is serious, and so she needs to be 100%. You don't want to put any more stress and strain on her body.
Okay.
Right. All of her body if she really wants to heal this naturally, all of her body's energy needs to go towards the healing, which is why being a mom of two teenagers, going for a master's and working full time, seems to me that she's diluting the attention and the energy that her body can make on that. So going away to someplace like Hippocrates for a few weeks could be like the answer to her prayers, you know? But in the meantime, as much as you can get her to slow down, right? And explain to her how you've got to divert the attention in your body to healing. Really super important. Super important. Are you giving her any, I don't see any liver, a liver rescue. Okay, yes.
Liver rescue. So she was reacting to mineral rush.
Okay.
So we're putting, we're doing like one or two supplement at a time, just so that she's, we know if there's something that she's reacting to.
Yeah, makes sense.
And she was reacting more in the beginning, but now I think she's okay. Like the green mineral from also Health Force, that works pretty well.
Okay, good.
And L-carnitine.
Yep.
For energy, that works pretty good. The probiotics.
Now, be careful with the probiotics with the bloating, right? You want to give her the D-lactic acid-free.
Okay.
Or the bifidus, straight bifidus. It's always safe to start with straight bifidus. But test it and see. Like, add the probiotic and see if it makes a difference in terms of bloating.
Okay.
Because if she's got, if she does have a SIBO situation going on, then you want to not feed it. And you could definitely feed it with a general probiotic.
General probiotic.
Yeah, okay. So I would say D-lactic acid free or the
Bifidus.
Sorry if I lose my words. I woke up jet lagged at 2 o'clock in the morning, so I've been up since 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So it's getting late for me.
Okay. So and vitamin D and C, she's taking a powder form. Any other supplement?
I'm just looking at them and Alti Omega 60 gels. So how much is she taking of that? With the gel caps on the algae form of DHA EPA, you generally have to take a lot to get a good result. That's why I usually get the liquid.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, just two. I think I was just recommending.
Yeah. I would see if you can get her to be doing equivalent of 2 grams total.
2 gram. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the EPA. Usually it'll say EPA DHA combo will be 500 milligrams or whatever. But okay. I would say if you can get her up to 2 grams, that's a good amount.
Okay.
Boswellia for healing gut. What was your rationale behind that, Boswellia?
Boswellia is, reduces, cancer growth, induces apoptosis. So
turmeric, eating turmeric. That's a good one.
Yeah, she does put in turmeric in her smoothie. Yeah.
And you know, in a situation like this, maybe even a curcumin, they have it at, Health Force has a liquid. I started taking it. I like it. It's a liposomal turmeric or curcumin.
Health Force. Okay.
Not Health Force. Seeking Health.
Seeking Health. Okay.
Seeking Health. Yeah. And you just squirt it into whatever liquid and make a cocktail. So that could be very helpful.
Okay. And also I think, is it melatonin? Melatonin also helps with the reducing cancer or
You just have to be careful of melatonin because of the interactions with cortisol. So when you take too much melatonin, you can suppress cortisol. Now, if somebody has very high levels of cortisol, that's a good thing. But if you don't really know what their levels of cortisol are, just be careful with too high of melatonin because it's a negative feedback loop. And I've got some new data and new pictures of some of those pathways that I got at a recent seminar that I'll share with you guys when I get a chance to pull it all out. Maybe.
Okay.
But maybe we'll do some of that at the retreat.
And I put in there biocidin. I know there's some kind of gut imbalances. I don't know what it is, but biocidin seemed to be a good.
You know, I've got a new little report from them. Let me see what it's got. they were at this conference, and I had no idea how many uses they found for the biocidin.
They have a lot. They
head to toe biocidin applications, cradle cap and dandruff, conjunctivitis and sty, acute and chronic sinus, acne, Lyme, HPA axis dysregulation, clostridia, diaper rash, prostatitis, urinary tract, toenail fungus, autoimmune conditions, blastocystis,
magic solution.
Like, it's the solution to everything. But there was some good data. I've got slides from the presentation. I think I do. And it's actually a very good presentation to show a lot of the clinical trials that they've done with it. So, yeah, so I think biocidin is a very good choice, especially, you know, not knowing what's there. Mm-hmm. Again, you got to watch with biocidin or anything potent like that to go very, very slowly, because you're going to see die-off if you go too high, and then they're going to be very uncomfortable, and that's going to put a strain on the liver. And what we're trying to do is take away strain from the liver, right? So tiny drop, tiny drop.
I hope we do start with two, I think, one or two drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And they have another, they have two forms of it. I'll have to look it up. They have a liposomal form that's supposed to be better for the overall body.
Okay.
So you might want to look at that. I don't have the other piece in front of me, but yeah, I would look at that one. I think it's a liposomal. It's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they been recommend
about that. A year. I think I've
oh,
used
it. Oh, it has been? Oh, they said it was brand new. Okay.
Yeah. And it's sweet. It tastes good. So it's easy for people.
Oh, good. Take. Good. Yeah. I would use that. I would use both.
Okay.
This is going to affect the gut. So if she does have SIBO.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if there's anything we don't know about that's in there. So it is a good general, when you don't know what's going on there, it tends to be a good general supplement. But it is strong. It's very strong, as you know, right? You've taken it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, so those are the things, the turmeric, the biocidin liposomal. Okay. How much vitamin C are you getting her on?
I am trying to get her on 3 to 5, that's probably not enough, right?
Probably not enough, but go to bowel tolerance if you can, or if you can get, I always tell people, get as much liposomal C as you can afford, because it's expensive.
Yeah, I got the powder form from Innate Response.
Mm-hmm. I've never used theirs, but they're a good company. They're pure. They don't have additives to it.
Yeah, you get a little bit more for your dollar.
Well, good.
Powder.
Yeah. You do, but the liposomal is so much more powerful in a situation like this. So if she can afford to spend $1 a day, on it, just have her at least take one of the grams that way. I know people who take 3 to 6, but it's costly. I mean, it's good for acute situations to take the more, right? Because if you've got a flu and you want to knock it out, go for 10 grams a day. So what if it costs you $10 a day to get rid of your flu? Who cares, right?
Yeah.
But if you're doing it for something that's long term, $10 a day, $300 a month for one supplement would be very expensive. So it's kind
so
of.
So mix it.
Mix it. Maybe 1 gram of the liposomal and the rest you can do the powder. It'll just give her some extra oomph. And if she's willing, you can actually talk to her about doing like a week of 10 grams a day, or you could have her do 1 day a week of 10 grams, kind of like if she were going for an IV infusion.
Okay.
You would only go for an IV infusion once a week. And so if you do 10 grams, it's going to be similar in effectiveness to an IV infusion. So maybe you have her do 10 to 15 grams once a week.
Okay. Is that pretty safe? Do I need to have her test to bowel tolerance first?
Doesn't affect the bowels.
Yeah,
because of the liposomal.
Oh, okay.
Right, because the other is going through the intestine, and the intestine goes, okay, no more. Mm-hmm. We have enough. Whereas the liposomal just seeps right into the chylomicrons and sneaks away directly into the bloodstream.
And the liposomal ones I looked at was from Quiksilver and one some other brand. They still have some fillers. Which one do you
Quiksilver.
Like?
Quiksilver uses, I thought Quiksilver, everything was supposedly great. And I just, without looking at the ingredients, I ordered several that I wanted to try out for myself. I'm like, they have preservatives. I like Seeking Health or Live On Labs. If she tends to travel a lot, you know, the Live On Labs comes in the little foil packets, which is bad for the environment, but convenient for traveling.
Okay. What's that called?
LIVONLABS, Livon Labs.
Okay.
Or Livon Labs, however you pronounce it. But Seeking Health has it in a bottle. It's a little bit less expensive.
Okay.
And we are soon going to have access to a site where you guys can sign up to something like Emerson Ecologics, but it's a company that does even more, and they have Seeking Health, and they have Biomatrix, and they have a whole bunch of others. So I don't know where it's at. Lynn, I left it with Lynn and Scott to get it coordinated. I think we have a meeting coming up with them soon. But we get a storefront, and then you can sign up. Mm-hmm. And they usually just take health practitioners who are, you know, licensed of some sort. And I talked to them about, you know, you guys, they said, as long as, you know, they sign up and tell us it's that they're related to you. But I'm excited about it because it's just, they give you a storefront. Like you get your, you can give it to your clients to log in and order the different supplements. They have Pure Encapsulations. They have Seeking Health. They have a whole bunch of different things in there.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah. Cause it's kind of, sometimes it's trouble to send them to different places.
Oh yeah. It's a pain. Yeah. I've been seeking this and, you know, I keep thinking, I don't want to do supplements. I don't want to have to deal with inventory. I don't want a private label. I just don't want to do that. So I met these folks at the health conference I was at a few weeks back, and I was like, oh my God, you're the answer. This is exactly what I'm looking for. I don't have to deal with anything. They do all the shipping. They have a really good customer service. So you can set up a prescription for somebody and they can store it and then they can refill it for them. They can do auto ship. So it's real convenient and it's like a one-stop shop. There may be, they're not going to be every, Premier Research even they have. That's the first one I've seen that has Premier Research, Seeking Out. Like it has my favorites. The only one it doesn't have is Thorne. But I, without Thorne, I can do Seeking Health. I'm not Seeking Health. See, between Seeking Health and Pure Encapsulations, I can cover everything that I usually get through Thorne.
Isn't Pure Encapsulation is bought out by?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're bought out by. I don't remember the company name.
Some big company. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It may not be a good option, but Seeking Health, Premier Research have so much of the stuff that I really.
Nestle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't know whether that's going to change or not.
Okay. So she is, so any other supplements you recommend?
Yeah, no, I think you're covering her with the Liver Rescue. You know, with the Biocidin, you may have to give her just a little more of the Liver Rescue just because it helps to support through the die-off.
Okay.
So just know that if she starts to have some issues with the Biocidin, you can back it off, but you can also give her some extra Liver Rescue to help support that too.
Okay.
And, you know, the increase on the algae omega, the increase of the C, adding liposomal, adding the liposomal on this, the liposomal turmeric, I think you've got it well covered.
Okay.
Yeah, I just go be careful with high-dose melatonin. I know
you
don't
yeah,
really know the status of her adrenals. Okay.
So I was trying to get her primary physician run some tests, but they're not really doing that for her.
And I did get some tests from you.
Yeah, it was just the basic, the cholesterol, not even the thyroid. They're not.
You've got to get her glucose under control. That's feeding her cancer. You explain that to her, like really explain to her the connection between this and the low glycemic is super important. And when she goes in, does gluten and eats out, she's got to get this under control.
Okay. Yeah. She's going to start testing.
Absorption is through the whole, look at that 14 and it's gone down.
I'm not saying, I don't know if it's just me. It's kind of.
Oh, I have to switch. Sorry. Let me switch new share. Sorry. Because it's a different program, I have to do a different switch. How about now?
Can you see? Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So her, you know, her glucoses are really high, right? Yes. So that's something to talk to her about. That's feeding her cancer.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Right? Feeding the cancer because cancer cells have more insulin receptors. Sometimes when you explain it to people in a certain way, they'll get it. Cancer cells have 10 times more insulin receptors than do regular cells. So when you're have that glucose that high, you are feeding those puppies.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to starve them.
Okay.
Her protein low here. I mean, these are usually when they're low, that low, the creatinine in bun, that there's some protein malabsorption. Let's see.
Okay.
Low sodium. Usually it's adrenal fatigue when the adrenals are just spewing out the sodium and the blood levels go low.
So with the low protein, because of the liver, do you suggest, how much fat or should I be suggesting fat intake?
I wouldn't do a lot and it would be easy to digest fat. So I would be doing MCT.
Okay.
I would be doing soaked and sprouted, germinated nuts and seeds, you know, preferably the more mono. You want to watch the omega-6-3 ratio. So you can, you know, plot what she's taking in into that omega-3-6 spreadsheet that we have in several places. It's in Sweet Spot on the advanced nutritional section on module 2.
Okay.
It's in several places in NEPT. I'm tempted. We should really put it in the master tracker. That'd be a good place to put it.
So yeah, she's not taking in a lot of fat, just basically vegan. So I'm thinking where her protein source would be coming from.
Greens.
Yeah, greens.
Hemp seeds would be a good source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hemp and chia seeds.
Pumpkin seeds, good source of zinc and protein. Almonds are a good source, but you got to be careful because of the omega-3-6. So make sure that you're balancing it with some chia. Mm-hmm. Chia is a good source of protein. The greens are broccoli, cruciferous vegetables. You just really want to reinforce to her the importance of cruciferous vegetables. Broccoli sprouts, get her to do broccoli sprouts as often as she can. If she can't get them fresh, then buy the broccoli sprout powder. Z Natural Foods is a good source for that.
Okay.
And then she could just add a teaspoon up to a tablespoon or more even in smoothies or soups. And, you know, if she's blending stuff, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Very mild. That's the beauty of it. Because some of these green powders are miserable. You can't take very much without it tasting awful. The broccoli sprout powder is just pretty bland.
Okay.
Doesn't have much of a taste. Yeah, her protein levels, even globulin, you know, and it's just changed. Like last year, everything looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But now it's showing really clear signs. What did they give her prognosis?
No, they didn't. Well, at least I don't know. We didn't talk about that. Yeah. So that's a concern, the alkaline phosphate.
Yeah, it's way high. I mean, yes. And my concern also is when I see it that high is there metastasis to the bone? Yeah, liver. It's definitely a liver marker, but it also can be a bone marker. So yes. I don't know if they've done it, but I would do the isoenzymes. If you can get them to do alk-phos with isoenzymes so you can see how it's distributed. Isoenzymes, if you go back, we'll go more into that into the advanced blood testing module, but isoenzymes are, it breaks it down because alkaline phosphatase could be related to gut, it could be related to liver, it could be related to bone breakdown. And so the isoenzymes give you an indication of how much is each of those areas, right? My concern would be, you know, you want to make sure there's the metastasis to bone, you know, so I'd get them to do alk-phos isoenzymes.
So that's a test?
Yeah. So okay. Normally we don't run it if the alkaline phosphatase is slightly high, but once it's that high, I would run an isoenzyme.
Okay.
Yeah, and I talk about it somewhat in the basic class in the, what's module is that? I don't remember what module it is, but the blood chemistry class, but we'll go into a lot more detail on that. We're going to do the next blood chemistry class is going to be advanced blood chemistry. I'm going to go through all the real detailed tests that you would do based on what you find here. So her AST or ALT. So clearly there's a lot of liver stress and it's happened within the last year.
Yeah.
Numbers were perfectly fine. I mean, she was low on ALKphos, which would suggest a zinc deficiency. So she may still have a zinc deficiency, but it's masked. And they didn't do cholesterol or any of that stuff. So they just did the liver stuff. Yeah, they just did the liver stuff the most recent time. But here they've got from February. White blood cell count is really high. Red cell count is a little bit low. Hemoglobin's low. Yes, so she's anemic on top of everything else. And the catch 22 with iron deficiency is that you don't want to give iron when there's an infection or cancer,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's an oxidizer and it feeds the process. So, mm-hmm. But yet you want to get oxygenation to the tissue. I would be careful with this, but I would do some research on it and see about yellow dock if there's any contraindications when there's a metastasis or a cancer, because it's an easy way to get it. And then if you increase her green leafy vegetables and her cruciferous vegetables, I would be getting her to do 12 cups a day of veggies, of green veggies.
Just doing 12, yeah. So if I could get the bloating down, then she would be able to do more.
Yeah, so get her to, yes, absolutely, if you can get the bloating down. Totally. But even cooked vegetables will cause it. Is that right? Anything she eats. But if you blend it, that smoothies.
Blend it is better.
Then yeah. Get her blending it. Get her blending. And she could do a combination of raw and cooked. She could, you know, steam up a big pot of broccoli and, you know, bok choy and kale and chard and whatever else, cabbage, blend them all together and make a really nice flavored soup. That's a great soup to throw turmeric and ginger into.
Mm-hmm.
Very good anti-inflammatories and anti-cancer agents. Black cumin seed,
mm-hmm.
would be a good one. There's been a lot of studies with that with cancer. Yeah, because she's
You mean the oil or just?
Yeah, you can do oil or you can get the seeds and then grind them down. So what I do is I do both. I just reordered my oil, but. Mm-hmm. But the seeds themselves, organic seeds, they're little bitty things like close to the size of chia, maybe a little bit bigger than chia. And I just put them in the coffee grinder and grind them down. And I just keep a little bit at a time because you don't want them to oxidize. And I just put a little bit so I can sprinkle it on food.
Okay.
I keep it in a jar. Yeah. And the oil is fine too. You can get a tincture, but you know, I'd rather get her doing it as food.
As food, okay.
Because I don't want to deal with alcohol with somebody with liver issue, right?
Yeah.
MCV is in the normal range. She probably, we don't have iron, but based on the hemoglobin, I'm suspicious of iron. And she may have both a B12 and an iron deficiency. So liposomal B12 would be a good thing to make sure she's doing, especially if she's doing a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you generally, the liver can store up to 7 years worth, but if the liver is damaged, you don't know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to activate it. Right. These all look normal with everything else not normal, like the MCB, MCH, MCHC. To me, that smacks of both iron deficiency and B12 folate deficiency. And they balance each other out. So this looks perfectly normal. But in reality, and the reason I think that is high RDW, that indicates that there's a lot of variation in the size of the cells, the blood mm-hmm. cells, right? Yeah. So they're going to be really small with iron deficiency anemia. They're going to be really large with folate B12 anemia, right? So I think she has both, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that and her numbers here, her hematocrit and her hemoglobin, they're low. Makes sense. Is that making sense? Do you want me to repeat that?
Yeah.
Okay. So with anemia, you've got iron deficiency, which makes the cells really small.
Mm-hmm.
12 deficiency, which makes them really large, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And both of them can result in hemoglobin being low, but mostly the iron is going to drop the hemoglobin. So the hemoglobin is very low. The hematocrit is very low. But the size of the blood cells, which are these three, they're a little on the high side, actually, right? Yes. So that says to me, and then this RDW is high, which means that's the red cell distribution width, means that there's a lot of variation in the size of those cells. So there's probably a lot of small ones and a lot of large ones. Small ones as a result of the iron deficiency, large ones as a result of the B12 folate deficiency. What that's going to do is make the size of the cells look like they're perfectly normal. But we've got all these other indicators. So the ideal would be to get the iron and the ferritin to see where she's at with those.
Okay.
Because if they're low, then you can safely supplement it, but you have to be very careful about supplementation.
Okay.
And if they're not, you don't want to supplement.
Okay. Yeah, I have asked her doctor, well, when she went to ask her doctor to do some tests, but I don't think she was successful at.
And she could do, you could get her to do whatever they'll do, they do, and whatever they want, direct labs.
Okay, yeah. The platelet count is high.
Platelet count is high.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to be careful about clotting.
Mm-hmm.
And the neutrophils are high, which means that there's some kind of bacterial infection.
Mm.
The white blood cells here are high. Okay, so white blood cells, when they're high, usually indicates an acute infection. When they're low, we oftentimes it's a subacute or chronic infection or an autoimmune process. Because she has high white blood cells, right?
Mm-hmm.
And high, where's her neutrophils?
Neutrophil, down.
Neutrophils, very high, 80.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are usually going to be high in bacterial, whereas high lymphocytes would be high in viral. Make sense? And, you know, you can review this all. It's all in the module on blood chemistry.
Okay.
So I believe she's probably got some sort of an acute bacterial infection. Okay. Now, where would that be?
In the gut.
It could be in the gut.
Yeah.
Right? It could be. Usually when we see it in the gut, it's more of a chronic. But because the white cells might be elevated because of the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but there is definitely some sort of a bacterial infection going on here.
Okay.
And I say definitely because it's outside the lab range. It's 80.
Okay.
Right? I don't know why her doctor didn't say anything about that. Now, again, this was back in February, and maybe she was going through some acute thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could have been as simple as she went in with a cold when she had this tested.
Okay.
Well, a cold's usually virus, but.
Yeah, I'll ask if she just did a lab in April. She didn't give me the data, so let me ask if they run. Usually they do, right? It's just pretty.
Yeah, I mean, they should. It's a CBC. It's $25, you know, whole retail.
Mm-hmm.
They probably pay $3 for it. It's a really cheap test. So, yeah, they should.
Okay.
Hemoglobin A1C would be nice to see and be monitoring, and I'd be looking at insulin as well. Because high levels of insulin, again, a lot of this you use, you can just talk to her from this, but a lot of times when they see it, you can explain, this is related to the cancer. This we have to get under control. So this has to be dealt with. If she's vegan, is she doing a lot of grains and beans?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe contraindicated. Is she doing a lot of fruit? Maybe contraindicated.
No. Yeah, not a lot of fruit. She can't tolerate beans, so she's not doing beans.
Not doing beans. What about grains?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly greens.
Greens. Okay, good. Keep her on the greens and get her off grains. When did you start working with her?
2 months ago. A month and a half.
Month and a half. So like maybe a couple of weeks before.
Middle of March.
Yeah, so you really didn't have much influence on her for this test. You might see major changes in another test. The CWP from Direct Labs, $97, will give you all the basics. It won't give you like hemoglobin A1C or anything, but it'll give you all the basics, including the iron. So you can see what's going on there. Did they do a ferritin?
No, they didn't.
Hemoglobin A1C, look, she's pre-diabetic. She's got insulin resistance, clear. 6.4. Okay, so that's good. You know, I hate to use the word ammunition, but influence for her, given, you know, she has these occasional splurges that she can't afford to do it.
Okay.
Every time that sugar goes up,
yeah,
she is feeding those cancer cells. She's just saying, hey, guys, grow. They'll suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just, you know, really for me in a case like this,
yeah,
she doesn't have the time to play around. Right. So it's taste buds or your life. You've got two teenagers. Let's do everything you possibly can to turn this around quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Insulin resistance diet. Hand her the blood sugar, that metabolic reset at a glance document.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what she needs to be following.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. But be careful with the nuts. Mostly vegetables, mm-hmm, with some seeds for the protein.
Okay.
Okay. And blend it.
Okay. And testing, what would be useful? Like she would be the most useful at this point.
Well, redoing the liver stuff to see if there's been some change in either, you know, the worsening or bettering. Like I said before, the alkaline phosphatase isoenzymes.
Isoenzyme. Okay.
Right. I would redo everything. You know, everything on here, just the CWP. So look up the CWP.
Okay, so we actually
show her that and say, look, I think you should get all of this stuff done just to see how what we've been doing has impacted so far. And then I'd also get, that would include the iron. So then you would get like ferritin.
Okay.
Hemoglobin A1C. And I think you'd get enough from that. And the alkaline isoenzymes.
Mm-hmm. And what other complementary treatments would you suggest? She's doing some acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And I was asking if she could find, what about IV?
Well, certainly IV nutrition can be helpful. I know that at Lodi Center, they alternate sodium selenite, selenium, with vitamin C. They don't do it together, but on alternate days they do that. That can be helpful. You know, I'd say anything relaxation stuff. So acupuncture is going to relax her, but getting her doing heart math meditation, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Very helpful. Anything where she's getting that relaxation done.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just taking all the load off. So she's got to completely reduce the toxic load so that liver doesn't have to work hard.
Okay.
Right? Clean and simple detox diet, but slow. You know, you don't want to go too fast.
Okay.
But as long as you're giving her that liver rescue, if she's doing, you know, more detox and getting symptoms, you can always up that. You can slow it down and then up that.
Okay, so her symptom would be itchy if she's showing itchiness.
Yeah, if she shows itchiness or excess fatigue or, okay, you know, the headachy, you know, the various and sundry detox symptoms.
Okay.
Right?
What about binder? Do I need to give her a binder?
If you're doing the Biocidin, mm-hmm, yeah, they recommend, and they have it. Biocidin has one, but you can do, yeah, like zeolite.
Okay.
Charcoal,
mm-hmm, yeah,
bentonite clay, any of those things. Yeah, I think that's a good idea whenever you're trying to cleanse somebody so that, okay, the stuff doesn't recycle.
Okay.
Keeping those bowels moving. She's got to have 2 to 3 bowel movements a day.
Okay. And if she doesn't, then magnesium? Should I use
extra? Yeah, do the vitamin C and magnesium to bowel tolerance to keep it going. You know, coffee enemas, I don't know if it's contraindicated in this kind of cancer, so I'm, you know, I'm cautious to that, to do that, but just a regular enema to keep it moving. That's another way to keep it moving.
Okay.
Yeah. And did you say she has no gallbladder, or is that somebody else?
No, she does have gallbladder. Yeah. Or she didn't mention
bitters. It. Bitters, yeah, help to move.
Mm-hmm.
The bile, so.
Okay. Yeah, she's doing like arugula before meal, dandelion. She's juicing dandelion.
That's nice. It. Ooh, she's hardcore. Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
I want to see these numbers change because this is...
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. And you can see some changes pretty quickly. I mean, by the time she'd get this, if it's a month after the previous, that would give you an idea of how well she's doing on your protocols. But the other one was only within a couple of weeks of you working with her, and she was certainly just kind of transitioning. But I'd really work with her on the eating out thing.
Okay.
Because not only is it the gluten and the dairy and whatever else they put in it, non-organic ingredients, pesticides that are going to put a, you know, stress on the liver, but you're also... you're talking bad oils, right? Restaurants use crappy oils, and she's got to be really careful about it. All the fats that go in because they oxidize and they put a stress on the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let me see if anybody else had any questions or comments. I'm sure there's been a lot of buzz going on the chat. Let's see. Mushrooms. There you go. Somebody mentioned mushrooms, of course. Shiitake, chaga. You know, if you can get her drinking like a mushroom elixir.
Okay.
Powder elixir, that could be really good. Because there's been so much research on the power of the medicinal mushrooms. Okay, so Lynn put in... Susan said goodnight. When did she leave? A little while ago. Black seed. I can't remember the brand. I'd have to look on it. It's an organic black seed. I think I ordered it from Amazon, but I forget the name of the company. I'll have to look that one up. Amazing Herbs black seed oil at Amazon. I think I remember. Yeah. I bought the black seed oil. I bought at Whole Foods and then I found it on Amazon. Lynn says, chaparral. Yeah, chaparral has been, you know, it's bitter.
Okay.
That's another one to consider. Lynn Rose says, Laria is one of her favorite herbs, potent enough that you have to monitor the liver. So you want to be careful about any things that cause, that can potentially, you wouldn't want to do anything with pedicites that have the pyrrolizidine alkaloids. You have to be careful about that. Yeah, Lynn put up some things, a few different herbs and stuff that you might want to consider. And yeah, lymphatic. So yeah, so what do you call that? Rebounder, bouncing. The other thing that works really well is poke oil that you can massage in the various areas where there's lymph to keep it flowing. That's a good thing.
You said poke oil?
P-O-K-E oil. I get mine from Herbalist and Alchemist. And I'll massage it like, you know, through the lymphatic here. You want to drain into the lymphatic ducts here. You can do it in the armpits and up from the breasts. You can do it through the groin area. So, you know, that's a possibility of massaging it. Or if she, you know, she's busy, she doesn't need yet another thing to do. Mm-hmm. Internally, I'd be careful about poke. I really wouldn't recommend that unless, you know, you're a really skilled herbalist because it can be toxic. But what's the name of it? Oh, there's another one. I use it all the time. And drawing a blank, it's too late. Too long and my brain isn't kicking in. Damn, Lynn, help me. What's the herb it's on the tip of my tongue. It's a lymphatic drainage. It's a really good one. I probably have it on my shelf. Okay. I'm going to try not to think of it and it'll come. Lynn yeah. Rose, Lynn, you guys know your herbs. What's the, the lymph drainage. Come on.
Okay, so on the top.
Yeah, you use drop dose in your lymph formula. Right, you have to know what you're doing. Good.
So I'm thinking cleavers.
Cleavers, thank you. Cleavers.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. I like cleavers.
And calendula is good too.
It is. I don't think it's as potent a lymphatic mover.
Echinacea, astragalus.
Yeah, and they're not as specific to lymph.
Okay.
You agree with that? Bloodroot is, yeah. Bloodroot, I'm careful with. Topical stuff, yeah. Lynn Rose said use echinacea. So, yeah. I mean, certainly echinacea. The only problem with echinacea, you got to be careful. If there is an autoimmune, it sometimes activates the TH2 and can be a problem. But, yeah, cleavers, thank you. That's it.
And then the dandelion. But you said she's juicing the dandelion green?
Yeah, she's juicing the dandelion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and food-wise, you know, anything you can get her, like food-wise, like burdock.
Oh, how about devil's claw?
I don't know that it's as strong a...
Okay.
I think about devil's claw as more of like, I think of it with arthritic kind of things, more of an inflammatory, like a joint thing, but maybe Lynn Rose could put in. Yeah, blends, not simples. Yeah, so maybe a combination formula with echinacea, cleavers, maybe a drop of poke, but I would be careful. Unless you're going to make it for them, I would never recommend that a person buy a bottle of poke oil. Or not poke oil, that's fine, but poke mm-hmm. for internal use, poke tincture.
Okay.
Just because there's so much risk to it that if they get confused.
Yeah.
You said three droppers of echinacea and they do three droppers of that, or even if they do three drops. So unless you're making it up, like Lynn Rose makes up the tinctures for them, right? She has the originals and she makes up the tinctures, then I'd be careful with it. So, you know, if you had it, you were making her a tincture and say, here's cleavers and a drop of poke and some echinacea, that would be great. But I think I'd be careful.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be careful.
Okay.
You do 1 to 4 of poke instead of 1 to 1. And you mean in terms of you make the tincture? But poke root turning people's hair red, it also makes people vomit very violently.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wouldn't deal with that unless you're doing oil, the poke oil, and having her just do a massage. But it sounds like she's overwhelmed.
Yeah. Okay, this is good. This is really good.
So you got some good stuff to give her. Don't overwhelm her with too much. Yeah. Just pick a couple of things, get her used to it, and then move on.
Okay. Yeah, we're in... introducing the supplements very slowly, maybe 1 or 2 a week. Just make sure she's not reactive.
Absolutely. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, this is good. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions, comments? I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah. Go to bed.
9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning for me. Oh. Based on where I was yesterday anyway, and I've been up since 2, so it's equivalent to 4 in the morning.
Lynn, I know, she was thinking at like 7:15 this morning.
I know, she's thinking, what? Rita Marie up at 7:15? I started working at 4, I got up, I meditated, I stayed in bed, tried to sleep, 4 o'clock, I just wasn't falling asleep, so I meditated and I got up and started working. Went for a run. As soon as it got light out, I put on my clothes and went for a run because it was supposed to be heavy rain, but I went out in the drizzle and I got my run in. So I was back from my run by 8:30.
Yeah. And it was a full moon. So I slept 4 hours on Friday night and about 4 hours. And I don't sleep during a full moon. So.
Wow. Sensitive. All right. Anybody else?
I just wanted to thank both of you, Elaine and Isabel, for these. It's just a great opportunity to really dig into all of this and follow those trails.
Yeah.
You know, we all combined have great information, but what's going to help this particular person? That's, mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And that's where, I hesitate to go into like some of the herbal formulas because herbal formulas, you got to really know the herbs and to know the person. And, I use singles for certain things, but really the formula when you know all the indications. Now, I should remember all these things, but I've got my three big fat binders from my herbal class, and I'm going through the garden the other day. They had the botanical garden. It had all these medicinal herbs, and it had all in Italian, but I could pretty much tell demulsion, things like that. And they had the little indications, and I'm like, oh, the Asteraceae family. I remember that. Now I don't remember what it's claimed to. Oh, yeah, echinacea's in that. Oh, you know. So I was recognizing all these herbs that I'd learned and going, I think I need to pull out my books again and just open them up, because it's hard to memorize all that stuff, right? Well, so I memorized the top 25 herbs that I use a lot, but I learned like over 400. So,
you know, and part of it is, yeah, Lynn Rules, that's why we have books. And that when you were saying, and I'm like, yeah, I was pulling up this one and this one and this one. But, and like Lynn has also mentioned that these plants all have particular characteristics. Mm-hmm. So that's why we ask those questions about the person.
Right.
You know, there's the Chinese questions, there's,
right, about the dry, the wet, the you know, the hot, the cold. Then right. There's the, you know, the likes, their dislikes, their emotional.
Exactly.
And we had this whole formula for creating. He had this whole technique for creating the formulas, and because I wasn't using it on a daily basis, I took the class, finished it like more than that. I finished it in 2008. So it was 2006 to 8. So in those 10 years, I didn't have the opportunity to really just do the herbalism. So I should pull them out, and because there's very specific ways he had us formulate, you know, like going into having a specific different actions of the herbs to blend to make the ideal formula. So, and you can use simples sometimes too. I mean, if you want that specific action, as long as it works for that person, but it's not going to be as effective as if you put it in a formula.
This herbal course I'm taking, one of our homework is to go out. I had to wait. I think it's safe for me now to go out and pick one of the herbs growing in my area. And you're just supposed to sit with it.
Yep, that's what we had to do too.
Yeah, and you just like.
And ask it what its message
is. Yes.
Ask it what, yes. I bet she studied with David Winston. He's like the king of.
No, actually it's Sage of Popham. It's evolutionary herbalism. Uh-huh. So we also studied the alchemy and the planets and all of that along with it. So, nice. And I'm doing the monthly, they have an herb each and a wild edible each month. And so you go really into depth each month on something. And
yeah, he would teach us 12 or 15 of those every week.
And so I'm grateful he doesn't.
And I'm like, I don't remember the ones from last week, and now I got to figure out the ones from this week. And he had Native American background, so it would be like go to the plant, make it an offering, you know, and then ask it. So he'd like tobacco is the thing. You bring it some tobacco, you sprinkle some tobacco, and you say, "What's your message for me?" And then you just sit. You don't try to use your left brain. You just sit with it. What do you feel? And he figured out. He was trying to figure out a use for a particular person who had some prostate issues or whatever. And as he's going past nettles, kept getting pulled back to the nettles. He goes, nettles for this. No, you know, and he turned out it was the root, not the leaf. Right. And he got amazing results with this person because
that's why I encourage people to just go outside and look, because the things we need show up and you may not realize it. So the last 2 years, violets have been the one that's just sprung up out of nowhere, and they're really good for the immune system. And the last couple of years, not so much in my family, but in the surrounding area, just, you know, the flu and all that stuff. Yeah. So I just started tincturing it and just putting them in salads and things like that. So each year I'm like, oh, what's going to show up this year?
What's going to show up next? What is it? Yeah. That's why I have books. My herb teacher wrote a beautiful manual that helps in creating formulas. Is that the name of the book? Organolepsis? Yeah, I want to know about it, Lynn Rose. Is that it? I had a dialogue with my home and we had an agreement. You take care of me and I'll take care of you. I love that.
Exactly.
So is that the name of the book, Organolepsis, Lynn? I want some simple book, because I have like literally three big fat binders full of all the sheets, like hundreds and hundreds. And I keep thinking, well, I'll just take one a week. Maybe we could all do that together. I'll pick one a week and I'll share it with you guys.
Oh, she said that's what connecting with the plant is, organolepsis.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I might do that. I think I'll just pull it out and I'll just pick one a week. And we can all play with it together. How's that?
Is
that
Sam Kaufman in San Antonio?
Who is it?
Mm-hmm. Sam Kaufman in San Antonio, Herbal Medics.
Cool. Yeah, I started with David Winston, but it was long. It was his very first time. I mean, this was back in 2006. I went to 2005. I went to a week long, a 6-day intensive with him in Vermont, this beautiful place in Vermont. And one of the people in the class was one of his students in his 2-year program. And she was telling us all about this and how wonderful it was. And it was going to be starting up again. No, it was 2006. No, it was 5. So he said it was going to be starting up again in the fall. So we all said, well, why don't you do it and live stream it? He goes, live stream it. What's that? Right? What's live stream? This is 2005. This wasn't, you know, now. This is 13 years ago. Holy cow. When I started that.
I know.
You're getting old. So we all worked on it, and he said, well, I'll ask somebody if they'll help me do it. And then he came back and said, yeah, we can do it. And so all the people from there joined his thing. It wasn't cheap. It was, you know, a few thousand dollars, but it was weekly. But the problem was, this is what I love about what we do. We couldn't go back to it over and over.
Oh.
They put up the recording, and the recording was only up until the next class. I think they had bandwidth problems, so they could just put up the one and then they had to move it out for the next one. So we didn't have the recordings of them. And I tried to download that. They didn't have a download capability. So I got this software where I would play it and then just leave the computer on to try to, you know, it was crazy. So I didn't really get the recordings. I would have liked that, because he talks fast, and with the stuff you want to hear it again and again sometimes. And we didn't have that option, so I'm disappointed about that. And I would scramble and take notes, and you know, and he gave us great handouts. But yeah,
on the orientation call last night, they were asking ways to listen to all of the things, and I said, you just always have something playing, because even if you're doing something at the same time, on some level of your brain, it's sinking in. I mean, I have you playing in my headphones on something all the time. And even though I'm working, I know that, because sometimes these things, and I'm like, where did I hear that?
Oh, that's cool that you can do that and multitask, because I can't. I'm just trusting
that my brain is going to pick
while it while I'm working on something. Like if I'm writing a paper or something and I'm listening, suddenly I'm looking at my paper and I'm writing what I'm hearing. I mean, it's like, whoa, right? So I can't do that. So I don't know if everybody can, but I can do it if I'm doing something just physical. So if I'm washing the dishes or cooking or running, or that's why I love to run and exercise, because I listen. Right. I do it. I listen to stuff while I'm doing plank, and I'm almost up to 3 minutes again on my plank. My goal is to get to 7. So I'm at 2.5 now. So where
good
we go.
For you.
Yeah. Annette, thank you for staying by. All right. Good. Oh, so organolepsis is connecting with the plant. All right. I'm going to go to bed now, everybody. So thank you for being here. I really
good night.
Great cases.
Thank really you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, you're right side up now, Valerie. What happened to your parlor? Last time she ended up upside down.
Where, oh, and happy birthday to Sequoia.
Oh, happy birthday, Sequoia.
Happy birthday.
There's so many of you on here that are not showing. I really wish you guys would show yourselves on these calls. It really helps me to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's here? Lynn Rose and Brandon and Valerie, Sequoia. Isabel, we saw there, right. Eva, hi.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Where are you?
You do not want to see me at this
point. I don't want to see you there, Sequoia. Hi, happy birthday, darling, and thanks for being here on your birthday. Yay! May 1st birthday, May Day.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, guys.
May baskets and dance around the maypole.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.